You turn to Psalm 12, please. Psalm 12. These are familiar verses, and I've preached from them before, but I want to take a fresh look at it tonight and look at it from another angle, from another perspective. Psalm 12, and I will read verse 6 and 7. And I want you to listen very carefully to the words of the psalmist here, beginning in verse 6. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." All right, now look at that again. Look at that 12th Psalm. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord." Now whose job is it to keep the Word of God? It's the Lord's job. That's what he's saying. All right, you say, well, I wonder what the word preserve means. It means to keep. Remember our built-in dictionary? It's an amazing thing, this Bible we have. And the Bible has its own built-in dictionary. And so lest some Alexandrian come along and say, I wonder what the word preserved means. God just defined it for you in exact verse. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation." Now, when David wrote this, this was back, 1,600 years ago? But now, look at the next two words. "Thou shalt preserve them from this generation," in other words, from David's day, "forever." And you say, I wonder what forever means. It means forever. It means forever. Folks, listen. If the Lord tarries his coming and long enough that I die, and I'm not banking on that, I'm not looking forward to that, and I'm not in any hurry for that to happen, but should the Lord tarry his coming and I die, I hope that it will be said by you, boy, Pastor sure did want us to love the Word of God. Pastor sure did love the Word of God himself, and he wants us to love it. Because, folks, I believe with all of my heart, and if I didn't believe it, I would resign tomorrow, and I'd go find me a real job. But I believe that this book right here is the inspired, infallible, holy, inerrant, preserved Word of the living God. And if I didn't believe that, I'd quit. But I do believe it, and you know I believe it. Now, I want you to look at that little seventh verse again. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord." Whose job is it to keep the Word? The Lord's job. "Thou shalt preserve them," the words of the Lord, "from this generation forever." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, you know my heart tonight and what I want to accomplish. And I pray that you'll bless me and help me. And Lord, the only thing you ever put above your own name was your Word. And Lord, I pray you'll help me tonight to exalt the name of the Lord and the Word of the Lord. And Father, help me to convince the people that you've allowed me to pastor that this Bible is the Word of God. Without question, without speculation, without any reservation, that Lord, we believe what the Word of God says of itself, that this is your Word. Lord, bless and help me tonight as I try to do that. Lord, I pray that you'll help folks to listen. And Lord, may we leave here tonight with a renewed love for the Word of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. A couple of months ago, I preached a message to you on the subject of Can I Trust My Bible's Inspiration? I took 2 Timothy 3:16 as my text verse where Paul said, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I showed you in that passage of Scripture that not only was the Bible inspired, but it is inspired and it will always be inspired. I showed you from that passage of Scripture that when we stand before, when the unsaved world stands before God Almighty at the great white throne judgment, the books will be opened. The books are the 66 books that make up this Bible. This is God's Word. It was preserved, it was inspired, it is inspired, and it will forever be the inspired Word of God. Now tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject, can I trust my Bible's preservation? Can I trust my Bible's preservation? You know, there's a great deal of weight that is placed up in the Scriptures upon the Lord's words. God always says precisely what He means, and He always means precisely what He says. There is no way God can be clearly understood unless His hearers get each and every word He speaks. Now again, go to the text. In verse 6 and 7, we have two verses that give us the doctrine of Bible preservation. Now, let me ask you, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, I do. I believe with every fiber of my being that the Bible is the Word of God. The first tenet in our church's statement of faith that all of us agreed and voted on last year says that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. We believe that. That is the first in a list of several doctrines that we hold near and dear and that we believe in this church. If the Bible is the Word of God, then we believe this statement is true that David made in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. If we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then we must believe that verse 7 and what is said here is the truth. God says in this verse that He will preserve His Word forever. Now, either He has done this or God is lying to us in this verse. And I do not believe that God is lying to us in this verse. Do you? Well, of course not. Now, I believe, as I said in the message a couple of months ago about inspiration, that we can trust our Bible's inspiration. The claims that are made in the Scripture, we can trust that God's Word is inspired of heaven, it's inspired of God, but I also believe that I can trust my Bible's preservation. I believe that the Lord has preserved His words. I believe that the Lord has preserved the words of the original Scriptures down through the centuries so that we have every word in English as much as every word in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, the original writings. Now, the Bible the Month Club, that's the Alexandrians that I referred to a moment ago. The when I call them Alexandrians, what I'm talking about are these people who have messed with the Scriptures. They have changed them. They have edited them. They have put their opinions in there, and they have now come out with a Bible just about every month as a new closer rendition of the Scriptures, and that's how they advertise them. But the Bible the Month Club, the Alexandrians don't believe in preservation. They do not believe in preservation. They will tell you that they believe the original manuscripts were inspired, but that the Lord never promised to preserve the originals. What they say is, and what they hold to, is that the Lord did promise to preserve the content of Scripture, but not the Scripture itself. The Alexandrians say that the translators of the NIV or of the New American Standard had far superior manuscripts than what the King James Bible translators had, and therefore all these new Bibles are better than the King James Bible. But folks, notice the text, please. Notice that seventh verse. Notice that God does not say that He will only preserve the content. God says that He will preserve His words. Not the content, the words, the very words of God. Now understand this, folks. When it comes to the Old Testament Scriptures, which the Lord Jesus often used, the Lord Jesus often used the Old Testament Scriptures, and when it comes to the Old Testament Scriptures, Jesus never had an original manuscript. He never had an original manuscript. The 39 books of the Old Testament which he used were written long before the first century. What Jesus used were copies of the original manuscripts. And those copies that he used were probably written in Aramaic, they tell me, and not in their original Hebrew. So that causes one to wonder, did Jesus quote Scripture that he did not think was the preserved Word of God? Of course not. You look at your King James Bible for just a minute, and let me read to you. You look at your Bible, and I'm going to read to you what the NIV says. And you'll see why these Alexandrians do not believe that the Word of God is preserved. Look, please, at your Bible, beginning in verse 6. And the words, and remember, I'm reading out of the Alexandrian text. Here's what it says. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. Now listen very carefully. You look at your Bible, but you listen to what the Alexandrians say. O Lord, You will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. Now that's preservation, isn't it? No, that's blasphemy is what that is. That is, how's that for perverting the Word of God? I mean, this is Mr. Hort and Mr. Westcott purposely perverting the Word of God in an attempt to cover up the truth that God Almighty Himself has promised to keep and to preserve His Word forever. I believe with every fiber of my being that what God says in this verse is true. I believe that God has preserved His words right down to this very moment tonight. I mean, I'm talking about at 4 minutes till 8 on September the 28th, 2008. I believe that God has preserved His Word. And I believe He'll preserve it forever. When God made this statement in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, He was fully aware. Listen to this now. He was fully aware that all peoples of the earth would not speak nor read Hebrew and Greek. He knew that He would have to keep and preserve His words even through translations. Now, He either did or he didn't. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe he did. I'm going to believe he did. And I want to say that God can, God could, God would, and God did handle this matter. If God could create a universe, if he could create the sun and the moon and the stars and create man and all the animals, I'm telling you, cutest thing this afternoon, Braden is standing there and he said, "Want to hear my verse, Papa?" And I said, "Yep." And so he quoted me his verse that he learned in Master's Club for last Wednesday night. And then he stopped and he looked at me and he said, "God made the sun." I said, "Yes, he did." And boy, he got real serious and looked at me and he said, "And God made me." I said, "Yes, he did, Braden." He looked at me and he said, "Who made you, Papa?" Isn't that great? I'm going to remind him of that one of these days, too. Hey, folks, if God can make the sun, the moon, the stars, if God can send his son to die on the cross and then resurrect him on the third day, God can see to it that he preserves his word. With God, nothing is impossible. And I believe that every one of the 810,697 words in my King James Bible is the very word of God. Listen, folks, Jesus told the devil in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And ever since, the old serpent has been garnering his Alexandrian troops together in order to attack the truth of that statement. And what is so sad is that Satan should find so many willing recruits, even among fundamental Christians. Now, here's what I want you to think about tonight. I want you to think with me of the foolishness of doubting this truth. I want to show you tonight, using the Word of God, I want to show you tonight the foolishness of doubting the truth of verse 6 and 7. It is utter foolishness for these Alexandrian Bible of the Month Club, a better word is bunch. This is a poor translation group. This is what the Bible really means, bunch. It is utter foolishness for these folks to say that God cared so little about his words that he let them die when the original manuscripts disintegrated. God said, "I will preserve it forever." So again, this is either true or God is lying to us right here. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I don't understand why folks don't believe what God said in verse 6 and 7. He said, "His words will not pass away, but there are still those who won't believe it." And I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. I can understand why an unsaved person wouldn't want to believe that, but I cannot for the life of me understand why professing Christians would not simply believe what God says right here in this passage of Scripture. In practically every Bible college in America, there are tenure-appointed scribes who disdain the very words God uses here to say that his words are preserved forever and will never pass away. They simply do not believe God. They're like those chief scribes and chief priests and the scribes of Matthew chapter 12. Hold your place here. I said Matthew, I meant Mark. Go over to Mark chapter 12 for just a minute. Let me read you what they said. This is interesting. Look at Mark chapter 12 for just a minute. Everybody okay? I'm trying to teach you something now. I'm trying to help you here. Look at Mark chapter 12, look at verse 13. It says, and they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians. Why? To catch him in his words. Oh, really? You're going to catch Jesus in his words? Are you kidding me? I'll tell you who got caught in his words. You read the rest of the story. They're the ones that got hung up. You're going to catch Jesus in his words? I'm telling you, folks, here's who's going to get caught in his words. The Alexandrians who speak against God's pure, perfect, infallible, inerrant, inspired, preserved word in the English language, the King James Bible. The Alexandrians are the ones that are going to get caught in his words. The Alexandrian who corrects the Bible by adding or taking away words is one day going to be held responsible for that action by its author. May I remind you, this is the Word of God. Paul said, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God in Romans 14:12. And part of that account will be the words that we have spoken. In Matthew 12, verse 6, 36 and 37, the Lord Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let me remind you, dear friend, that the same psalmist that wrote Psalm 12 also said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when I hear these Alexandrians speaking harsh words against the Bible, against the King James Bible, saying such stuff as, well, it's not the Word of God, or it has errors in it, or this has been mistranslated, or a better word would be that it should say this, or that it should say that, and they do it with no fear of God before their eyes, and say it like, God sure is lucky that they're now on the scene so they can explain to the rest of the world what God meant. Man, that just grates all over me. I'm saying we need to take the Word of God and just believe it. I'm saying that that God says what He means, and He means what He says. And right here in this passage of Scripture, God said that He was responsible for preserving every word, and that He would preserve it forever and ever. Yes, the originals have disintegrated, and yes, they are no longer with us, but that does not change the promise. The promise is, I'll preserve them and keep them forever. The promise is that God would preserve His Word forever. And that, dear friends, means that you can trust your King James Bible. You've got a promise from God. Now, let me have you go over to Revelation chapter 13. I'm on the same point. All right, I'm trying to get you to see you can trust your Bible's preservation. I'm on the same point, but I'm going to come another angle at you. Look at chapter 13 of Revelation. You know chapter 13 is John seeing the Antichrist rise up out of the sea. Verse 1, he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw beast rise up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist. All right, now look down at verse 5. It says, well, let's go back and get 4. It says, and they worshiped the dragon, they being the world, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now watch this. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things, and what's the next word? Blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months. And he opened his mouth in, what's the next word? Blasphemy against God to, what's the next word? To blaspheme his, what? Name. And his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Notice this, folks. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, in the last 3.5 years, he is going to blaspheme God's name. The Antichrist is going to blaspheme God's name. The man of sin, that wicked one, is going to blaspheme the name of the Lord. Now, what do you think of that? I tell you what I think of. That offends me. That offends me. The thought of God's name being blasphemed should offend each and every believer. And I'm sure that the thought of God's name being blasphemed by the Antichrist should even offend the Alexandrians. I mean, it's a wicked thing. It's a vile thing. It is to speak in a derogatory way against the name of God. But now listen to me, folks. I submit to you that speaking against God's word is even worse than speaking against his name. You say, what? Yes. Let me have you go back to the Psalms now, to Psalm 138. Let me show you something. When you've got it, look up here at me and smile. All right, all three of you, thank you. Psalm 138. All right, now look at me. You got it? Look at me. Look, think. We know that God thinks highly of his name, right? We know that. We know that. We know that God thinks highly of his name. But there is something God thinks more of than he does his name. Look, please, if you will, at verse 2. David says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy, what? Name, all right? Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy, what?
Word.
Above thy name. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? Folks, listen. Oh, my soul. You better be careful. Reading all this neo-evangelical stuff and these guys saying, well, now, a better word here. Wait a minute. You're messing with the book. And while God honors his name, there is something that God honors more than his name. You better be careful going down here and buying the Bible of the month. You better be careful now. And you better watch it, because you've got a bunch of Alexandrians out there who are coming out with all these new Bibles, and you mark it down. They're doing it for one of two reasons. It's either bucks or bias. They're either wanting to make money off of you, or they're wanting to get their agenda to you. And you better be careful now. God has magnified his word even above his name. I mean, it's bad enough to speak against the name of the Lord, but it is even worse to speak against his word. And that means when you hear some preacher say, well, I believe the originals were inspired, but I don't believe that the King James Bible is the word of God. You are listening to a man who just called God a liar and didn't even know he did it. Let the Antichrist blaspheme, but let you and I honor the word of God. Let you and I believe God. I mean, let's just believe he is either going to preserve his word for every generation, or Psalm 12 is a lie. And I personally believe he's going to preserve his word. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to make it say what I want it to say. I have decided that I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to tell you without apology that this is the Word of God. If folks leave, they just leave. But I'm trying to get the truth to you. I love you. Good night. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't stay here and put up with this. The wear and tear on my mind and on my body, there's no way. But I love you. And I want you to believe with every fiber of your being that that book is the Word of God. Because let me tell you something, folks. You may not be going through it right now, but you're going to be going through it after a while. You're going to have some problems down the road. You may not be going through problems right now, but you're going to have some problems if the Lord tarries His coming. And I want you to have something to which you can turn. I want you to have something to which you can grab a hold of and cling to and hang on to and have faith in and have confidence in and realize, wait a minute, everything else around me may fail, but this will never fail. It's the eternal Word of the living God. Folks, I want you to love your Bible. I want you to love your Bible. Let the Antichrist blaspheme. Let the Alexandrians blaspheme. You stick with the book. Just stick with the book. Now, go back to the text. Almost done. Go back to the text. So I guess the question is, will this scripture be fulfilled? Will the Lord preserve His word forever? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, even if the Alexandrians say that it will not and they don't believe it, that doesn't change it. It's the word of God. Of course it's going to be preserved. Now, folks, think about this. David is considered in the scriptures a prophet. I mean, our author here, King David, was called by the Lord in Matthew 13:35, a prophet. Keeping that in mind, let's see what the author of the Bible had to say about the scripture being fulfilled, even the Psalms. Hold your place here in the text and go over to Matthew 5, and then I'm going to quit. Matthew 5. All right, now, are you holding your place? All right, because I want to read my text verse for you, and then I want to go to Matthew 5. You can just look at me and listen. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now look, please, at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Look at this. The Lord Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." Now what did I just tell you? David was a what? A prophet. The Lord said so. He said he was a prophet. And here the Lord says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." You with me on that? Is Psalm 12, 6, and 7 going to be fulfilled? Absolutely. Absolutely. I want you to notice here that the Lord Jesus tells us that the author of the Word of God, that as the author of the Word of God, He will see to it that every scripture is fulfilled. David, a prophet, is certainly included in the promise that Jesus made to fulfill all the law and the prophets. Do you understand what He's saying there, folks? Jesus is saying that He Himself will see to it that the pure words of the Lord are kept pure, and He will preserve them forever. He said that He would not allow one jot or one tittle in His word to pass away, the smallest of marks in the Hebrew language. He said not one little comma is going to be displaced. Not one little accent mark is going to be displaced. This would be true of the words given to the holy man of old who wrote the first words of Scripture in the Hebrew language, in the Greek language, in the first place, the original manuscripts. This would be true of the words that Isaiah wrote the first time he wrote it. It would be true of Jeremiah who wrote it. It would be true of the very original manuscripts. And since Jesus also called a translation of the Scriptures in Matthew 21:42, the Scriptures, and in Mark 12:10, the Scriptures, and in Luke 4:21, and in John 5:39, and in John 10:35, and several other places, since the Lord Jesus called a translation of the originals, the Scriptures, that means that this would be true of His words in pure translations, including the English translation, including the one that you have in your lap tonight, the King James Bible. Can I trust my Bible's preservation? Yes, you can. You can trust its inspiration, and you can trust its preservation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, folks, I've said it before, I say it again. If this is not the Word of God, and Jesus, I just quoted for you, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Now you listen to me. If this is not the Word of God, then I recommend, I'm going to put a motion on the floor, that we disband and that we pull whatever resources we've got left. We sell everything we have here to finance it, and we scatter across this planet and we find the Word of God. If we have to have it to live, and this is not it, then we better go find the Word of God. But here's the good part. We don't have to do that. Because we have a promise that God would preserve it. And you've got it if you are using a King James Version of the Bible. God has preserved His Word. Folks, I want you to love your Bible. Love it. Learn it. Meditate in it. Study it. Make it a part of your daily life. This is God's preserved Word. He promised to keep it. Now, one more question and I'll be done. How many of you believe the promise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Sure you do. How many of you believe the promise that for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How many of you believe that? I do too. If we believe those promises that are found in Scripture, why wouldn't we believe verse 6 and 7 of Psalm 12? Huh? You know, there's this little old thing that's within each and every one of us called pride. It's called pride. And boy, there's just something about some people. They got to be the smartest guy in the room. They got to know something that nobody else knows.
And then they got to stand there like, I know something you don't know. A better word is, oh, hush. Just, hush. You don't speak Greek. Hush. You don't speak Hebrew. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you that. I probably shouldn't tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. There's a scholar, and I mean that in the greatest sense. There's a scholar who has invested the last 20 years in the matter of the text issue. This scholar heard the sermon that I preached here that I entitled, Hush, You Don't Speak Greek. And my phone rang. My phone rang. I was home on a Friday last winter, sick as a dog. I had a fever of 103, and I was just sick. And my cell phone went off. And I didn't recognize the area code. And normally when I don't recognize the area code, I don't take the call. But for some reason, I took the call. And I said, hello. And that scholar said to me, is this Dr. Norris Belcher? And I said, yes. And this scholar said her name. This scholar's a woman. A brilliant woman. And I've got her books. And I've read her books. And I love her books. Never met her. And I said, oh dear. She said, I heard your sermon. I said, where'd you get it? She said, I download everything you preach on the internet. I went, oh dear. And here's what she said. She said, I listened to Hush, You Don't Speak Greek. I said, and? She said, you, sir, are a prophet. I said, excuse me? She said, I'm going to send you my next manuscript. I'm working on it now. And over the last 6 months, she has sent me that manuscript as she's gotten it done. And I've read it. Now you look at me, folks. Here's what's in that manuscript. Now you look here. This is going to help you. She has researched every one of the Greek and Hebrew dictionaries and lexicons that every fundamental preacher in America has. I've got an office full of them. You know what they are? They're books that, just like a dictionary, an English dictionary, you can look up a word and it'll tell you the meaning, only it's Greek and it tells you the meaning, or it's Hebrew and it tells you the meaning. And she has researched every one of them. I'm talking about, listen, you know these names. Strong, Thayer, Vincent, Wiest, Brandt, Arnott. I could go on and on. There are oodles of them. And she has researched every one of them. Now look here. Everybody focused? Listen to me. There is not one Greek lexicon. There is not one Hebrew lexicon. Not a one. That is not filled with Hort and Westcott theology. Not a one. Every one of them are corrupted to the core. You got Unitarians that wrote these things. You got Trinitarians that wrote these things. You got agnostics that wrote these things. I mean, you got people that wrote these things, and every preacher in America has them. And so she said, you, sir, are a prophet, by saying that you don't need to know Greek to understand the Word of God. And you don't need to know Hebrew to understand the Word of God.
Folks, you got a promise right here from an eternal God who said, I will preserve my word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And if this is not it, then by all means, let's go find it. But this is it. You see, the problem is, we don't read it. The problem is, we don't believe it. And boy, some theologian comes along and says, well, now, you know, a better word for this is. Can I tell you where that sermon came from? Hush, you don't speak Greek. I don't know if I told you or not. I was in a meeting, and there was a bunch of people standing around, a bunch of preachers standing around. And they were, they brought me to preach on soul winning. They brought me to preach on soul winning. So I did. Bunch of preachers. And it was one preacher right after the other. And every one of them was getting up there and they were saying, now, you see this word right here? This is the Greek word. And they tell you what the Greek word is. And they'd say, now, it's also translated. And they translate it and translate it and translate it. And I heard a couple of them say, I heard a couple of them say, Paul used this word, but a better word is this. I wrote that down. And I came home, and I went in my office, and I got my Thayers, and I got my Vincent, and I got my Wiest, and I got my A.T. Robertson, and I got all the rest of them off the shelf, and I started looking, and sure enough, there it was. He was reading from a guy that didn't even believe that the Bible's the inspired Word of God. Now, folks, here's the point. You don't need Greek. You don't need Hebrew. How many of you speak English? Raise your hand. There you go. You got the Bible right here. You got the Bible right here. You got the Bible right here. You don't need that. You got the Word of God. And one of these days, dear friend, now you mark it down. You say, boy, I got life by the tail right now. Well, I'm glad you do. But over here, you're going to need something. I mean, the day is coming for you. And when it does, you better have something that you can hang on to. And I'm telling you tonight, you can hang on to this book. For the only thing God ever put above His own name was His own word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your precious book. And Lord, I ask you to bless it to our hearts tonight. Give us understanding of what we've heard. Lord, help us to know, help us to realize, help us to understand that we have the Word of God. And Lord, we just need to trust in the promise that's made here. You've promised to preserve your word. And Lord, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And how would we have your word if you did not preserve it? So Father, give us a love for your word. I pray that it will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray, Lord, that when we read it, we'll stand in awe of your word, as the psalmist said. And Lord, I just pray in this room tonight are some of the finest Christians in the world, some of the finest soul winners, some of the finest Christians, some of the greatest prayer warriors sitting right here in this room tonight. Lord, give us a hungering for the Word of God. I pray that you'll rekindle a flame in our hearts for what thus saith the Lord. Lord, give us your blessing this evening. In Jesus' name we ask it.